Our reading is from the book of Daniel, chapter 7. In the first year of King Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream, and visions passed through his mind as he was lying in bed. He wrote down the substance of his dream. Daniel said, "In my vision at night I looked, and there before me were the four winds of heaven churning up the great sea. Four great beasts, each different from the others, came out of the sea. The first was like a lion, and it had the wings of an eagle. I watched until its wings were torn off, and it was lifted from the ground, so that it stood on 2 feet like a human being, and the mind of a human was given to it. And there before me was a second beast, which looked like a bear. It was raised up on one of its sides, and it had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth. It was told, 'Get up and eat your fill of flesh.' After that I looked, and there before me was another beast, one that looked like a leopard, and on its back it had 4 wings like those of a bird. This beast had 4 heads, and it was given authority to rule. After that, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was a 4th beast, terrifying and frightening and very powerful. It had large iron teeth. It crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. It was different from all the former beasts, and it had 10 horns. While I was thinking about the horns, there before me was another horn, a little one, which came up among them, and 3 of the 1st horns were uprooted before it. This horn had eyes like the eyes of a human being, and a mouth that spoke boastfully. As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. Then I continued to watch because of the boastful words the horn was speaking. I kept looking until the beast was slain and its body destroyed and thrown into the blazing fire. The other beasts had been stripped of their authority, but were allowed to live for a period of time. In my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed." The interpretation of the dream. I, Daniel, was troubled in spirit, and the visions that passed through my mind disturbed me. I approached one of those standing there and asked him the meaning of all this. So he told me and gave me the interpretation of these things. The 4 great beasts are 4 kings that will rise from the earth, but the holy people of the Most High will receive the kingdom and will possess it forever. Yes, forever and ever. Then I wanted to know the meaning of the 4th beast, which was different from all the others and most terrifying, with its iron teeth and bronze claws, the beast that crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. I also wanted to know about the 10 horns on its head, and about the other horn that came up, before which 3 of them fell, the horn that looked more imposing than the others, and that had eyes and a mouth that spoke boastfully. As I watched, this horn was waging war against the holy people and defeating them, until the Ancient of Days came and pronounced judgment in favour of the holy people of the Most High, and the time came when they possessed the kingdom. He gave me this explanation. The 4th beast is a 4th kingdom that will appear on earth. It will be different from all the other kingdoms, and will devour the whole earth, trampling it down and crushing it. The 10 horns are 10 kings who will come from this kingdom. After them, another king will arise, different from the earlier ones. He will subdue 3 kings, He will speak against the Most High and oppress his holy people and try to change the set times and the laws. The holy people will be delivered into his hands for a time, times and half a time. But the court will sit, and his power will be taken away and completely destroyed forever. Then the sovereignty, power, and greatness of all the kingdoms under heaven will be handed over to the holy people of the Most High. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all rulers will worship and obey him. This is the end of the matter. I, Daniel, was deeply troubled by my thoughts, and my face turned pale, but I kept the matter to myself.
Thanks, Keith. I have a confession to make. I have an addiction. Yeah, I know you know I've got an addiction to chocolate, but this is another one. I have an addiction. Perhaps we could have the PowerPoint up, please, Ruth. There's a certain American TV series, drama series, that I am addicted to. There have been 13 series, and I have seen every single episode. In fact, some of the episodes I've seen 5, 6, 7 times. I love this programme. And, do you know, I like watching them more than once, because the first time, you don't know what's going on. Just in case you don't know what that is, that's NCIS. Okay, NCIS. It's Naval Criminal Investigative Service or something. Anyway, it's not important what it is. But I do like watching episodes over and over again, because the first time, you know, it's all a bit tense. You don't know what's going to happen. But the second time, you can watch it and know that actually it's going to be all right. You know what the ending is. It's all worked through, and you know that the ending's going to be all right. And actually, the episodes where it doesn't work out all right, I don't watch those again. You know, they just go by the by. I like to know the ending. Over the past few months on Sunday mornings, I've been talking about Daniel. We've been looking at Daniel. And this morning, we've had a reading from Daniel 7, which is God showing Daniel the end. What's going to happen? God's plan for humankind. Not very detailed in some ways. You've got these pictures of these kings and empires walking over the whole world and rising up and being destroyed. But then you have the picture of God's kingdom coming, being permanent. And when Daniel asks what the interpretation of the vision, the dream is, the interpretation that is given is just a positive one. It doesn't dwell on these kings. And it's interesting, just as a by the way here, in Daniel 2, Belshazzar had a dream, and God showed him the history of the world, history of the earth. But it was very different in some ways to what he showed Daniel. He saw these kings, he saw the statue, didn't he? And it was very worldly, very from man's point of view. Whereas with Daniel, the kingdoms were shown as beasts, God's point of view. But I digress. Back to Daniel. The emphasis in the interpretation is very positive. It's about the establishment of God's kingdom, God's eternal kingdom. There's not a lot of detailed explanation. There's no time frame, and there's no identification of the kings and the empires. But there is one thing in this vision that I want to pick up on this morning, and that's the appearance of the Son of Man. Daniel says, in my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Now I can get excited about that, because I understand that the picture of the Son of Man is a picture of Jesus. Now, why do I say that? Well, Son of Man appears 81 times in the Gospels, and in Matthew itself 30 times, and in every case except one, it's Jesus using this phrase, talking about himself. So I just want to have a look at the Son of Man and what the Gospels say about the Son of Man that coincides with what, not coincides, it describes what Daniel is seeing here in the picture. Firstly, he's in the presence of God. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. Now that's important. We talk about being in the presence of God. You know, he's everywhere all the time. And so no matter where we are, we can be in his presence. But whilst we are present to him, that doesn't mean he's present to us. In other words, he sees us, but we don't see him, at least not in all his glory. In the book of Exodus, Moses, talking with God, asks him for help in leading the people to the promised land. And God tells him that his presence would go with them. But Moses says, I don't know, I want to see your glory. Well, God agrees, but only to a certain extent. In Exodus 33, he says, I'll cause my goodness to pass in front of you, and I'll proclaim my Lord, my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But, he said, you cannot see my face, for no one can see me and live. We can't see God in all his glory and live. Isaiah and Ezekiel's visions of God were such that their human eyes couldn't understand what they were seeing. The human eye, the human mind can't comprehend God in all his glory. Even Daniel here can only see part of the deal. But the Son of Man, Jesus, sees God in all his glory and is led into his presence. In John 8:38, Jesus says, I'm telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your Father. Jesus lived in the Father's presence, and it's in this presence that we find out more about Jesus, that we find out more about God, being in his presence. But he is the complete representation of God. I emphasize the word complete, because the Son of Man is more than just an ambassador, more than just a representative. In verse 14, we have three ways where the Son of Man is the complete representative of God. Firstly, he's given the authority of God. It says he was given authority, glory and sovereign power. All peoples, nations and men of every language worshipped him. So firstly, he's given the authority of God. Jesus declared in Matthew 28, he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. But the Son of Man, Jesus, doesn't just represent the authority. He is the authority. He is the court of final appeal. He has that authority because it's given him by the Father. The second way the Son of Man is the complete representation of God is that he's given the glory of God. We've just talked about God's glory. The Son of Man is given that glory as well. Whilst he was here on earth, his glory was hidden for the most part, although at the Transfiguration, some of his glory was shown to Peter, James and John. But time's coming when we will see him in his glory. Revelation chapter 1 gives us a glimpse of it. John says, I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the seven lampstands was someone like a Son of Man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet with a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, his white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace. His voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in his brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. And he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. The Son of Man, who was dead and is alive. That sounds like Jesus, doesn't it? One day, all will see him in his glory. And the third way the Son of Man is a complete representation of God is that he's given the worship of God. In Matthew 14, we read that those who were in the boat with him worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Remember, the wise men came at his birth and worshipped him. When Jesus healed the blind man, what did he do? He worshipped him. No mere human can have the authority of God, because God refuses to allow us to follow anyone but him. He's the ultimate authority. Even Paul addresses this. When people thought when they thought they were gods, he said, I'm not a god. But we come in the authority in the name of Jesus. The third thing that Daniel tells us about the Son of Man is that his kingdom will last forever. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away. Might be helpful to remember that Daniel was writing these words in captivity. He was a captive in Babylon. 550 years later, baby Jesus is brought into the temple. And Simeon, the old man Simeon, comes up to them and says, he'll be great. He'll be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. You know, some of the most tragic parts of the Bible are the stories in Kings and Chronicles where the kings who are on the throne one day and dethroned the next, murdered by power seekers, angry subjects, or even their own children. These guys, in some cases, didn't know if they're going to make it to the next day. Their kingdoms were in constant jeopardy. None of them could claim to be part of a kingdom that lasts forever. Our queen has been on the throne for 63 years, but her reign won't last forever. Jesus, the Son of Man, his kingdom will last forever and ever, infinitely. This is Jesus, the Son of Man, who is in the presence of God, who is the complete representation of God. He is God, whose kingdom will last forever. And why is this so important? Because this is the Jesus who wants a personal relationship with you, with me. This is the Jesus who walks with us. This is the Jesus who shares every hurt, every challenge we experience, who knows every heartache, who gives us strength to carry on. This is Jesus, whose kingdom lasts forever and ever. This is Jesus who I want to know. I want to be alongside. Last Sunday afternoon, Keith Imogen and I were watching the tennis. It was rather tense. I don't know if you saw the match, but Andy won the first set. Yes. Could this be his year? Well, Djokovic went on to win the next two sets. But we've seen Murray come back from worse. And I can actually remember saying to Imogen, I wish I knew what the result was, then it would be so much easier to watch this. But it wasn't to be. Murray fought bravely to the end. Any lesser player would have thrown the towel in. But that's what makes champions. They don't give up. There's always a chance. You're a champion. I'm a champion. We are champions of God's kingdom. But you don't have to hope upon hope that everything's going to work out right. Because God has shown us in Jesus, with Jesus, that his kingdom is everlasting and that as part of his kingdom, then the future is bright. Although the present might be a struggle, we need to stay alongside Jesus, know him, the one who breaks the power of sin and darkness, the one whose love is mighty, so much stronger, the one who shakes the whole earth, the one who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder, the one who brings our chaos back into order, the one who rules nations with truth and justice. He's the King of Glory, the King above all kings. And I do apologise for having a gallop through that this morning. But I invite you to stand now. Let's sing that song that we learnt first off. This is Amazing Grace. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Jesus, the King. The King forever and ever. The King, our Saviour, our friend. Jesus.